It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. With God, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Sure, the national stuff was going on, but it's a big weekend. I decided to come in because, you know, after a week off, it's like, you know, I could stretch this another day. I was asked last week, hey, you want to work on Labor Day? And my initial thought was like, why the hell are you texting me on vacation? No, I don't want to work on Labor Day. Then I thought to myself, shout out to Joe George. Then I thought to myself, you know what? Yeah, I should work. I should work. I ain't got nothing to do. I was home Saturday back from the Deep South. You want to talk about a fish out of water? Me in the Deep South? Well, I spent most of it in Florida, but I did spend a couple of days in Augusta, Georgia, which I would call the Deep South. A lot of Georgia flags I did see. We'll get into college football.
Play any golf?
No, I did not.
No?
I played
Augusta?
No, what I got to do was look at my inheritance, apparently. It was a trip my mother decided, hey, I'm going to sneak this by him. You know, he thinks he's going to stay in Florida and just hang out for a week, but no, we're going to take a 10-hour total, but 5-hour road trip to Augusta, Georgia, and he can look at his inheritance. And by inheritance, I mean this home that she has there, and I have to make a decision at some point about what I want to do with it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit in this car for 5 hours and look at this home and sleep on an air mattress.
Make small talk.
Yeah, well, my cousin did the driving. He drives for a living, and so he volunteered to drive us there. And I thought to myself, man, this isn't what vacation is supposed to be, at least initially. Then you get there, you hang out with your cousin and my mom. It's fine. But initially I thought to myself, I brought my PS5. You're taking away 2 days of me building up this dynasty because new rosters came out on Friday or was it Thursday, whatever day it was. So the rosters are more up to date. So I'm thinking to myself, I got a dynasty to build. What are we doing here? But, you know, you see the property and the land and you're like, you know what? This is something the whole family can enjoy at some point. Or in my capitalistic mind, sell this thing at some point.
Yeah. Sell this thing, donate the NIL money to Florida or to
not
Miami.
Florida needs it. Not to Florida. But yeah, it was fine. But after all that, I thought to myself, after a week off, let's come in and do the show. Let's start off the week with what was a big weekend. I mean, a lot of you didn't get to see LSU, USC, if you're a DirecTV person, as I hear like the National Weather Service thing going off. So that's a great way to start. So if you guys are listening, maybe you thought the John and Lance show was going to be the opener. Sorry about that. They'll be back tomorrow. But if you want to get in on anything because you didn't get the chance early this morning, certainly you can do that with me. But I do want to know if anyone, or at least how many people were affected by DirecTV and ABC squabble. There was a big game on last night, and if you had that service, you didn't get to see it. You had to find an alternative way to see it. So we'll get into what happened last night in college football. Certainly, since I've been gone, and I don't want to be the person who pretends like sports stopped happening just because I wasn't around. Like, oh, let's do a recap of the week. You guys were out there watching sports. I paid attention loosely, and I know the Astros were in the midst of losing 3 series in a row, and then they turn it around and sweep the Royals. Jordan hits a home run yesterday, his first home run. He hits two, his first home run since June 22nd at home. The Astros have now won 5 in a row and have a very comfortable lead over the Seattle Mariners. So, although some things got hairy with the series against the Orioles and the Phillies, they got it rectified, and also the Mariners stink. So, comfortable. You beat up on a good baseball team, and you're still well-positioned to potentially get a top 2 seed in the AL. So an overall great weekend for the Astros. Ronel Blanco was good yesterday. Only went 5 innings. The pitch count got up there, walked 4, but he found a way, particularly with his last batter he faced, to get out of a jam. And Renell Blanco's a guy at 10-6, was a great start early, but I saw that Dana Brown said that he is the most likely candidate to go to the bullpen from this when they start when they go back to a five-man rotation. So the way Arrieta's pitching off Kikuchi and with Verlander being back, Renell Blanco, who didn't seem like a candidate before, but you just have to look at the emergence of Arrieta and of course the consistency of Hunter Brown. And with Verlander back, someone has to go when they go back to five, and it appears Renell Blanco will be that guy, at least according to Dana Brown. As long as, you know, something the Astros haven't been able to say a lot of this year, as long as health is not an issue, at least, I mean, they haven't been able to say that they're healthy. As long as they're healthy in that rotation, Blanco is the guy who will drop down to the bullpen. So there's the news there. The other thing, We've gone from early in September for Kyle Tucker to possibly the second week to Kyle Tucker to maybe this week with Kyle Tucker. That is now the update that we may see Kyle Tucker against Cincinnati. So that is good news. So now even an earlier projection than the initial one. So there's that. But the Astros just been really great in the month of September. You just look at how the numbers break down as far as what they've done record by month. And you know, it was ugly early, and that's a long time ago now, but you look at what they've done in the months leading up to this six-game lead in division. They were 10-19 in May, 25-33 in June, were 6.5 games back. July 1st, they jumped above 500, and they were, let's go by the start of the month. May 1st, they were 10-19. On June 1st, they were 25-33. July 1st, they were 42-41. August 1st, 56-52, and on September 1st, 74-62, and leading the AL West. So I won't even say remarkable. The quickness in which they caught the Mariners is pretty remarkable, but this is the team we expected them to be. They're not constituted the way we thought, with Jason Hayward being on the roster and Kikuchi being a big contributor, but the record is not as good as past Astro teams, but the way they've played the last 3 months now is familiar to what we've expected from them. So all credit to them for finding a way. And I don't know if the Joe Espada manager of the year stuff will start to build, just simply because those are narrative driven awards for the most part, and the Astros are always expected to be good. And once again, I think I said it even before I left, I don't really know when we start to talk about what a manager does day to day, how much that has an effect on the game day after day after day. Can you say Joe Espada is doing a better job than the Guardians manager or the Royals manager, just because his team's playing better, because Kikuchi's playing great or pitching great? That's a tough one for me. So I leave the coach of the year stuff to others who have decided that is something they want to focus on. But hey, the team that we've gone from, is Joe the right guy, to, hey, look, when guys play better, he does a pretty good job as a manager. And of course, if the postseason goes a certain way, then we can build more narratives. But so far, so good. And it's pretty stress-free, right? I would think at this point, all we're worried about is getting to the playoffs healthy and maybe catching someone for the two seed. But other than that, are we coasting in the month of September? Is there really much concern about this team as far as, certainly not the AL West? I'm almost of the opinion that they're going to catch a team and be a two seed. They've surpassed anything I could imagine when we think back to June.
That's definitely the expectation, or like that's where your sights are being set now. It's no longer a division race with the Mariners, is now trying to chase down the Guardians and Yankees.
Yeah. Even when I left, the Mariners were an afterthought, and it got a little trick. Not so much because the Mariners were playing well, because the Astros were losing series, but it got a little sketchy until the Royals came to town and they rectified the situation. As I said, they sweep the Royals, take four from them, and obviously they finished the series against the Phillies, winning a game. So that's five in a row for them, and you're pretty comfortable. You want to maintain health, you want to get your rotation in order, and obviously you want to find your consistent lineup and who's going to be where down the stretch as you make your way into the playoffs. And yeah, I think the goal, the big goal here is, can you get the 2 seed? And if you get the 2 seed, it makes the path quite a bit easier. And maybe we're well on our way to another ALCS appearance, which has been the standard set by this team. And it didn't look like that standard was going to get hit or at least be met at some point. But now you feel pretty good about where this team could be. It's been bumpy, but even in the midst of all the winning, it's been bumpy. But still, they are kind of who we thought they would be, they've reached that point in a different manner. So all credit to the Astros as they're now 6 games up in the AL West. Of course, the weekend was filled with other things beyond baseball. We've got an actual NFL game to talk about, and we'll get to that later in the week. But we've got actual press conferences going on right now about games that matter. We're at that point in the NFL season. Of course, we got post-game pressers to hear from when it comes to college coaches as well. There was a lot going on yesterday in the LSU-USC game, but also Saturday night as games are wrapping up. We'll hear from multiple college coaches as they discuss whether the teams played well or played poorly. Brian Kelly, not thrilled with this team. I can tell you that. Not thrilled. And Brian Kelly should probably stop playing teams who have some variation of brown and yellow in the opener. That's 2 losses in a row to Florida State before last night, and then a loss to USC in the opener. That's 3 in a row. In his tenure at LSU, he does not win opening games in those neutral site games. Stop playing them. Fine, or just stop playing teams who are brown and yellow. I don't know. No more standalone games for Brian Kelly. That's a team who struggled to play defense last year. They played better defense for about 3 quarters, and then, like a lot of these games, all of a sudden, the 4th quarter, we forget to play defense, or the offense gets to their best plays, and things start to open up as Miller Moss in USC wins that game 27-20. And USC is another team that was in a little bit of flux coming into the year. Questions about them and their defense. We know Paul Feinbaum was ripping Lincoln Riley, and at least for a night, the LSU offense that we expected to be really good, even though Grant Nussmeier's is not Jaden Daniels, you still expect them to put up points against USC. It's not the case. I'll credit USC for this. They look competent. I don't know if they're going to be good defensively, but they don't look like the mess they were. All it took, you hire the defensive coordinator from UCLA. You just take the guy from UCLA, and things get better for you. Hey, I like what you – hey, you don't even have to move. In fact, it's probably a better spot to live in Westwood. You want to stay there? Or I don't know if he lives in Westwood, but if we're talking about neighborhoods, it's better to live in Westwood than to live where USC's campus is. I'm a Southern California native. I know. Just trust me on this. If you don't know, just trust me on this.
So Dantlin didn't move into the neighborhood.
I would say stay where you were.
Okay.
If he had a house that was location specific because it was closer to the UCLA campus, that's why he wanted to live there. If they'll let you live there, stay there. If you don't mind traffic, stay there. Just from my experience. That's all. But the defense, credit them. They got stops. They did enough. I would tell Kyron Lacy, the next probably really good LSU wide receiver, stick with the gritty for your touchdown celebrations. Don't do the "I'm going to fire a gun at my opponent" thing. That'll get you a penalty.
Don't do it at the opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to brrr to the crowd or something,
I think you can. You might finger get guns.
It's not even a finger gun. It was like
but I think you can do finger guns at nobody. Two arms in the ear hole of your cornerback. Yeah,
you cannot gangland assassinate the quarterback you just scored a touchdown on and not expect to be penalized. And the best part is, hey, we don't know exactly what he did. Oh, we just know he got penalized. And then later, they have a clip of him showing what he did to his teammate. Hey, this is what it got me the penalty. And then they also replay what he actually did to the USC defensive back. The gritty's cool, man. I know it's not yours, but Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, they did it all the time throughout 2019. Never got a penalty for it. Stick with the gritty or some other dance. You want to do the thumbs down thing that I saw a lot of players doing out there making plays. You can do that too. I'm not a young person. I don't know that reference. It just looks like a thumbs down. I'm not sure what it is. It's probably not simply a thumbs down. I don't know. But stick with something like that. Because you commit that penalty, at least a kickoff from like your 15 or 20, whatever it was, and then USC gets a big return. Nice tackle by the kicker to keep Zach Branch from scoring a touchdown. It eventually leads to a field goal. But no more ear holes with the gun, with the shotgun in your opponent's ear. You'll be just fine. It's going to be a good player. Made a lot of big plays. I would just say dance. I think the officials are like, yeah, do all the dancing you want.
I love when Kyron Lacy makes me dance.
I don't. Yeah. Kendrick's like, I don't like tough Kyron Lacy. I like when you make me dance. Do that. Do that. So that was something. That was something to get into as well. So a big weekend overall. We'll get into more. Like I said, we'll hear from college coaches like Mike Gundy. We'll hear from a wife yelling at her husband during a Tennessee post game. He's on the phone, and you can hear her yelling at him in the background to get off the phone because your family's more important. So a lot to get to. We're just getting started. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We're starting the work week with Dell and Sean. And the rest of the lineup will be here as well. Gallant and George, follow me, and then the Killer Bees after that. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this is probably something we will do on Tuesdays normally, because going forward, Monday is going to be a big NFL day with the Texans clearly being at the forefront of most of those conversations on Monday. And of course, the Astros and the playoffs and what all that will mean for the city. But since there was no NFL and the Astros, we talked about them and they sweep the Royals, and we'll get more into them a little bit later. We're going to do this. I put it on our sheet here, and this is just a prelim to what we'll do going forward. But I wanted to ask Sean, we can discuss it, the misery rankings for the fan bases this weekend in college football. Because, you know, this show likes to throw slander at anyone and everyone as long as it's not us. Like, for example, I probably wouldn't have done this if Miami had lost to Florida. At least not the first week. Hey, look at Lance looking like an active shooter out there with that backwards hat on. Look at Lance. Yeah, turn the hat the forward way, because the backwards way, you look like...
You got backwards hat.
Yeah, but I don't look like what you look like.
What do I look like?
You look like a guy who ATF needs to look at.
Well, then I'll turn it around.
Yeah, that's who
I don't
you look
like somebody who ATF needs to look at.
You look, yes, you do. Lance,
why
Zierlein
are you doing this? They said that we didn't have to do a show.
I know they said, but I had a week off, so I decided let's not start the programming, the daily programming at noon.
Mapes, if Miami would have got beat,
no, I would have come in because he asked me beforehand. Like Joe asked me middle of last week, so I said I'd do it. But I did not. I wouldn't have had fun. I wouldn't have had fun today if Miami had lost. That's true.
Yeah, but it was a lot more fun based on that game.
Yeah.
It's a good weekend.
What are you in here for?
I just have to look at some offensive linemen for the Joe Moore Award. We have to stay on that, so it's just on brand for me.
So you're just in here working?
Yeah.
I'm
just going to turn some tape on and go watch four teams. My teams I have to watch are all terrible. Like, well, I assume terrible. They're not. So Aaron Taylor took every college football team. And there's like eight of us watching tape, and he went to ChatGPT to randomize it. And I've got UConn, Troy, Eastern Michigan. Like
UConn,
nobody who's got any shot at winning this award.
So why do you have to do it?
We just have to leave no. We literally watch every offensive line
after week one. You have to watch UConn.
Yeah, that's.
How about we wait a little bit?
I know. I'm just gonna watch to see. Basically, you can tell which offensive lines have a chance. And so I'm going to take a look at like six offensive linemen this week, or six offensive lines this week. And then next week I'll look at the next six. And then I kind of just make little marks about who gets a little deeper dive, you know, by week three. But yeah, you're right. You can't see anything after week one. Your offensive line at Miami played better.
Yeah.
I think the running backs are better than the offensive line, but. My gosh, I'm not sure that Martinez from I'm not sure that he's not the third best running back on the team. The starter that you got from Oregon State,
I'm interested to see how he plays, because the system he played at Oregon State wasn't one where he was running a lot of shotgun.
No, it's true outside zone.
Yeah.
And I don't love, like, Mario tries to run the ball between the guards. It just doesn't
He loves running the ball between the guards.
And Martinez likes to do a lot of dancing and thinks he's Le'Veon Bell. The other two backs hit it up in there. Was Proctor?
It was Fletcher.
Fletcher. And then the other kid, Lyles.
Jordan Lyles is a freshman. Fletcher's in sophomore year.
Lyles has got some juice.
Yeah, he's a freshman who they took from Ohio State late in the recruiting process, so they like him quite a bit. In fact, Mark Fletcher, I think, was committed to Florida late in his recruiting process, at least early in it. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. I'm not getting too high. You guys are trying to ruin it for me in the group chat with your football takes.
You never bit once.
No, I don't get involved in the group chat when my team's playing, because it can only lead to nonsense. So I was like, no.
John's sitting there drinking, waiting for you to say something.
No, he's never.
The U is back.
No, that wasn't even what it was. It was things you can't even say on the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Things that wouldn't get the Hall of Famers canceled, but you know,
it's just general things that
Raheel did a show on Friday, and if he ever wanted to do another show again, I couldn't say what he said.
No.
No. No, so they
just
have
things like that.
They have they've got Teflon, but for the rest of us, we can't act like them in the group chat.
So, yes, you can.
No, we can't. Not with what you said.
You can act like that in a group chat. You do act like that in a group chat.
That's not true.
Yes, Dell's just as terrible as everyone in a group chat.
This is a lie.
Not as bad as John.
Oh, John's the worst. Let me just go back to Saturday. I can't read any of them, but there are some questions about Miami and whether some of their players do substances. Because, you know, it's Miami.
That had to be John.
It was not John. I'm not going to
get it. Oh, okay. I wonder who it is now.
You said something about Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, he's not discount Braxton Berrios. He's Restrepo's now, like the upgraded, like the LT version, four-wheel drive with the trim, like really nice trim. Like, he's a much better version of Braxton Berrios. Well, longer arms.
Braxton has T-Rex arms, so it's kind of hard to not have long
arms.
Restrepo
was good.
Yeah, he's been a good player for years.
We got a Hispanic running back now?
Clean it up now.
He's a Hispanic running back.
Clean it up now. I'm looking at what you wrote. Clean it up now.
I don't know his origin. Could have been.
That's why you're cleaning it up now.
Is he from Mexico? I don't know.
I don't know where Danny Martinez is from. All I know is he's a big guy who nearly gave Florida DB a concussion with one of those runs.
Yeah.
Targeting on the running back that never gets called. So there, I didn't want to start with Miami and Florida, but you came in and did. I was going to start with LSU and USC because we have sound from Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly wasn't thrilled with his performance particularly, because, you know, the players are still making the same mistakes they've always made. And I put Sean on the spot, so that's on me. When Sean has it, we'll get to it. But, were you affected by DirecTV? Were you able to watch the game?
Yeah. I saw something the day before, but I didn't know it was impending like the next day. I saw that's the first time I'd seen anything like, hey, don't miss any of these great channels. It wasn't on, so immediately I just went to, okay. I told my son, Mason's freaking out. I said, just go to the ESPN app. We've got ESPN. We got the bundle with Disney, ESPN, and Hulu. So that's fine. So we were fine. I had to watch it on the app. All DirecTV, all this did was it just pushed me even further to getting rid of DirecTV for the, you know, and just streaming everything. I'm already there. It's just, I don't know why I keep paying. I complained to DirecTV over the years so many times about prices. And if you do this, and if you got DirecTV, like I've got my television and cable, my television, my DirecTV, and then my internet. It's like $170 a month total. That's a really, really good rate. A lot of people are paying $300. If you call DirecTV and say, I'm thinking about making a switch, this is just, I've been a subscriber since blah, 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 they will knock, I promise you, they will knock all your prices down if you're dead set on sticking with DirecTV. But all this did was like, dude, this is like, I'm sitting here, I can't even watch this game on my DirecTV. I go right to the streaming profile.
What do you keep in DirecTV for? What do you have it for?
You know what?
Convenience?
Just convenience of, you know, because I can pause, I can watch two games at once. You really want to know what it is? I have a dual receiver, so I can hit pause, and and I can do button down, and I can keep two games going simultaneously, and I can pause them. So I can watch, like, I watched Texas and Colorado State, and I watched, what was a stinker? A&M. Was it A&M being played at the same time? Yeah, A&M Notre Dame,
no,
right?
That was later in the day.
That was Miami and Florida.
Was that was a stinker. Time. Which one?
No, when did Texas?
That was a night game.
It was at 2:30.
Whoever was playing at the same time on the primary channel.
Miami and Florida are playing on ABC at
That's
the same
That's what
time.
It was. Yeah. And I was watching those two games concurrently. And, I mean, it's a benefit to be able to watch them. You know, all I have to do is I forward pass commercials, and I hit pause, and then I flip to the other one. So, I mean, do I really want to keep paying this amount just so I can watch
I mean,
two
you already have
once?
That thing we can't discuss that gives you
yeah.
the ability to watch anything you want, and it's well, a, it's I less noticed, convenient than
DirecTV. I gave
Direct
it
TV.
A little try on Saturday. The games, it was you still have to, like, you don't magically get broadcasts on the, I didn't see it, did you?
You didn't go to the local, like, for since we're going to talk about this, you set it up where I could watch a Dolphins game, but for whatever, through the, like, their NFL, whatever it is. I went to it also gives you local channels, so I went to local South Florida channel and watched
think
it that
about
way.
That. Yeah, you that's can, how you
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, so if the app or whatever thing we're, let's say, creatively working around isn't working, it also gives you the local channels that you can go to. So
ABC, NBC, CBS,
in those cities.
Fox,
so that's another way to watch them as well.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, well, I'm the bright one here. I think we all know that to be the case. So I've helped you out.
Yeah.
So there it is. Lance decided to take over the show. That's cool. He didn't want to work on his own show, but he'll come in and take a segment from me when I only have eight of them.
Sleeping.
Thanks. Lance Erline, co-host of the John and Lance show. Hall of Famer Lance Erline. You can honor them in early November, I believe. That is, and when he's got his hat turned on backwards, you might question what's in his bag. But Lance Erline of the John and Lance show now exits our show. He'll be back tomorrow from 7 to 10. And this is new for us. I'm going to throw to Sean. Hey, Sean, don't break before the live.
I won't. Because there is a live read.
For Sean Mapes.
Not for Sean Mapes, for Prize Picks. But
Sean Mapes was speaking for Prize Picks.
Yes, this is more confusing than it needed to be. Hi, I'm Sean Mapes. I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, the number one daily sports fantasy, or the daily sports and fantasy app, with over 5 million active members. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you watch those winnings roll in. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. I was doing this weekend, putting a little, sprinkling a little lineups around, building some lineups. And what they have is really cool, a flex play option, which means if you say choose 3 player stat projections, you only need to get 2 right to win your money. So you get a little bit of a mulligan, which is why I used when I took the over or the more on Braden Fowler Nicolosi's passing touchdowns against Texas. Colorado State did not score, but that did not hurt me because I had more on Riley Leonard's 31.5 rushing yards and Carson Beck's passing yards in those games. So if you want to follow me and you want to experience Prize Picks, download the Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES, MAPES, my last name, on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even have to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back. And, of course, with the appearance of Lance Erline, we're way behind. And he took us off track. It's just him being consistent. He is nothing if not consistent, which is weird considering he has ADD. But he is consistent when it comes to that. Let's get to this. I threw to Sean. I put him in a bad spot. Really, I just wanted Lance to stop talking, so I wanted to get to some sound I promised to play, and I put Sean in a bad spot. But this is Brian Kelly. He of the LSU Tigers. His team has lost three straight neutral site games to open the season. He's 0-3. Here's his commentary after the latest loss.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put him away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach.
So it was a lot of this is on me, but also an acknowledgement that as players seem not to take coaching to heart because I didn't look at that game and think they pretended like the game was over because at no point were they ahead by more than, 4 points the entire game? So that'd be a weird feeling on the sideline to be watching a game that's been competitive throughout and think, oh, we got this one in the bag. Maybe it's, hey, we're playing LSU, we're playing USC, that West Coast team who doesn't even really belong in the conference they're in. I don't know, but why would LSU throughout that game think to themselves they've had this one in the bag because they're LSU? What does that mean?
Yeah, I think for me where they lost the game is the play calling on that last drive that they had where they're very conservative. They set up the field goal to tie instead to take the lead. That to me is the – I mean, you're LSU. Score some points. Get the ball in
20.
The end zone.
Now, USC, we talked about a little bit. We know they were bad on defense last year. They hired the former UCLA defensive coordinator to be theirs. Lincoln Riley said, enough of Alex Grinch. I don't like the way you coach defense. Now, I should have come to this realization 2 years ago when I brought you over.
Yeah, should have come to a realization when he was the Oklahoma coach.
That's what I'm saying. When you made the decision to go to USC, maybe don't bring Alex Grinch with you, but you did, and now you suffer the consequences. You wasted Caleb Williams, particularly that first year, because you can't stop the run against Utah in a conference title game. So a year, he said, I'm going to give him another year. Then he makes the decision to get rid of him, and USC looked competent, which is would have been great 2 years, the last 2 years, because maybe you win and maybe you make the playoff because of how good your offense was. Miller Moss, he was great in the bowl game. He stood in there and threw the ball. I saw someone, I think it was Chase Daniel, he said it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He tweeted something that made people furious in some regards. Some people agree with him. Hell, even Lance chimed in on it. He said, with Miller Moss, something along the lines of, is USC better situated to go make a playoff? I think if their defense plays that way all year, the answer is yes. But I know it is getting at because Miller Moss will play on time. He will throw the ball where Lincoln Riley wants him to throw the ball. And the offense will run in a way that probably is better suited for how they want to play. But you know, there was a number one overall pick on your roster, so maybe we just let him do whatever he wants
because
he is the number one overall pick. And Lincoln Riley's had guys. Another number one overall pick. Lincoln Riley's had guys do it different ways. Kyler Murray, he played on time, but he was going to do his thing. Baker, for the most part, played on time. Baker less athletic than Kyler and Caleb, but Baker made plays too with his feet. Miller Moss is probably the least likely to be a guy who improvises, but I think Lincoln Riley is stamped as one of those guys that no matter how you play, as long as he names you a starter, you're going to play pretty well. I get it from Chase Daniel, but I will just say their defense, if they play that way, that's why they're going to have a real shot.
There's two things. One, like you said, the defense. Two, 12-team playoff.
That's the other thing.
Every quarterback is in a better position to make the playoff.
If Caleb,
now 8 more spots.
That's true. After year one, when they lost to Utah in the Pac-12 title game in an 18 playoff, that USC team is still making the playoff.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, they are in a better position, but I do understand the offense will be more. I think for football nerds, the offense will run more the way they like it because one of the things criticism of Caleb Williams is he will decide to extend plays when he doesn't need to. He won't take the 5-yard dump off. He will try to make a big play when an easy one is staring right in front of him, and sometimes that leads to a disaster. Sometimes it leads to Caleb Williams making spectacular plays. That's kind of the give and take you have with a player that talented.
Yeah, talking about Miller Moss, on the other side with LSU, I thought Garrett Nussmeier was all right. I thought he was fine. I thought he was actually kind of good. about as good as you could expect Nussmeier to be. And so, hey, LSU, I know you're starting 0-1 for the third straight year with Brian Kelly as your coach. Actually, you're starting 0-1 for every year, however many years, since 2019. 2019 sure. is the last time they started the season 1-0. So that sucks. Nussmeier looks all right.
Yeah.
He looks good.
I don't know. They were doing the comp all game long. You had the last two Heisman winners were playing for these teams. The last two Heisman winners playing for these teams, and now they're going off to the NFL. And the question was, how could these guys who are replacing them play? I think you got an answer. They're both going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have weapons to throw the ball to. And if last night is an indication, I think you're going to have better defensive play on both sides. And, of course, the caveat is, hey, it's just week one. We'll throw that out there as well. We all understand it's just week one. Who knows with depth concerns, injuries, how that'll play out. But USC, and LSU, at least defensively, look more capable of not having to get into 45 to 41 type games to decide winners. And I got a comment that kind of echoes what Lance Zierlein said earlier. My cousin tweets me. He's never tweeted me before. Not the cousin who drove me to Georgia. His older brother has tweeted me and said, honestly, Dell would not have been as excited to work on this Labor Day had the University of Miami not won this weekend. Signed, a bitter Gator fan. That's the other part of it. We are a family divided, as you might imagine. Not everyone roots for the same university. The family is so large that there are Florida State fans, there are Florida fans, and there are Gator fans. In fact, in the family I'm talking about, there are three brothers. Two of them are Gator fans. One of them is a Florida State fan. I am a Miami fan, but I think we are, as far as the Miami fans of the family, we don't hold the majority.
Mm.
But
so were you talking? No, wait, you got here on
I got
Saturday,
here on
right?
Saturday afternoon, right before the game, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I watched the game, watched another couple games, and fell asleep.
It would have been great to watch it with, you know, your family.
I don't like watching games I care about with
people. Do the sarcastic gator chomp in their face.
No, enough Miami players did that for everybody.
Your freaking coach did that.
He broke the gator chomper over his knee. Apparently, in that building on that day, you can taunt. You can taunt. And as long as you don't direct it at a player.
I like that,
as
by
long
the way.
As you don't direct it at a player, you want to taunt all the fans you want, it's allowed. And that's what happened on Saturday.
I do think there should be different rules when the Miami Big Three play each other. When two of the Miami Big Three are playing,
yeah.
Like the turn the sliders down for whatever constitutes
unsportsmanlike penalties,
personal
yeah.
fouls, all of that, just like whoop, all the way down. Because we need the sarcastic chop. We need the sarcastic
upside
chop.
Down you.
You like we got it all.
Hey, no one did a shotgun to someone's head like Kyron Lacy. I think it's all a win.
Boom.
I think it's a win for everybody involved. So we did not get to our misery index, Florida.
Florida's up there.
Up there,
by the way. According Florida to might be number one.
My cousin has chimed in. He's miserable.
We should go through more of these on the other side.
Yes.
And power rank them. But I will say, though, I have a hard time seeing anyone else but Florida be number one.
I don't know. Clemson, we haven't gotten to that game. The way that game went in the second half, and just a difference from, you know, these two teams played each other, what, 3 years ago now? It was Stetson Bennett versus DJ Uiagalelei.
Yes.
And how different the trajectories have gone since that point.
One quick thing, and we can talk about it in full again after the break. Let's try to get out
sure.
reasonably on time.
Sure, sure.
That game, the Stetson versus DJU game, do you know who was favored in that game?
Clemson, right?
Clemson was a 3.5-point favorite in that game.
Of course.
On Saturday, Georgia was a 13-point favorite.
So I'm talking about. So we're
it moved 16.5 points.
Now it's a lot. It's 3 years, but Clemson was, and you got to say now, was one of those premier programs. We'll get to it on the side. Like yes. Sean said, let's get to break on time. But before I do, I want to talk about a great plumbing company. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's where you go to if you want to check them out. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. So if you got an issue, it could be big, it could be small, it does not matter. They will help you out. Like, I talk a lot about repiping because that can be a big job. You can't handle it. You need an experienced plumbing company to do it. And they've done over 1,000 repipes, so Aqueduct Plumbing Company is a place for you to get that done. They have experienced contractors who are local. Hell, their owner is local. Billy Brown's in the Clear Lake area, so you know they're going to take care of you. They want to improve the community, and they can do that through their plumbing expertise. But hey, it doesn't have to be a big job. It could be something as simple as trying to find a leak. You sense a leak. Maybe you see a little water damage in your wall. You want to find out what's causing that. Aqueduct Plumbing Company can take care of you there. If you need a water filter, if you have an issue with your water heater, whether it be tankless or not, they will get the job done for you. So they're experienced. They're local. They are looking to make sure you have no problems with your water. Because we know when it comes to water, it's just an expectation. You turn it on, you expect it to be clean. You don't expect anything in it. You expect it to be at its best. So you want your water to be at its best. You want it to be clean. You don't want that dirty, stinky water. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we'll get to this here. Misery rankings for the fan bases. We discussed some of the teams and their performances, and a lot of this is pretty obvious. You've got third-year Billy Napier getting smoked in his building, and it's a tough thing when you come to the realization that simply playing at home in one of the most feared stadiums in the sport means nothing. It doesn't mean the same thing you thought it meant. Because a lot of talk going into the Miami-Florida game was, how's Miami going to handle the swamp? How are they going to handle the swamp? Well, they handled it just fine. Because, oddly enough, the players on the field who represent the swamp mean a lot more than the crowd. Like, if Florida was vintage Florida, sure, the swamp would mean something, because not only are you trying to deal with the players, then you have to deal with the communication issues and the pressure and all the things. But if you have a clear advantage and you feel like we're going to beat the hell out of this team, then all that noise means a lot of nothing. And Cam Ward, whether he was being serious or not, said it's louder in practice. The crowd noise we pumped in the practice was louder than the swamp.
Maybe. And I was going to say at the end of the game. Maybe at halfway through the second, the quarter.
When you made it 24-10, right before the half.
That was pretty quiet.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet then. After the Montrell Johnson run got Florida back in the game.
Yeah.
He also said something along the lines of, I played at USC and Oregon louder. Oregon, I believe, particularly throughout the game, because they were probably beating the crap out of you, or at least ahead or in it, because Florida, by the time the first drive of the third quarter was over, they were out of the game and they weren't getting back in it. So Florida will put them certainly in the top five at least.
Yes.
Clemson, we touched on them before we went to break. We talked about the difference 3 years can make. They went from a title contender with the next great quarterback in Clemson. He was supposed to follow Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. DJU was next. And they got little Stetson Bennett for Georgia. And of course, DJU throws a pick six. The game ends 10-3. And you say there's not much difference between Georgia, who went on to win a national title, and that Clemson team, at least after week one, just a defensive battle. This one, at least for half, went the same way until Georgia stepped on the gas and Clemson had no answer.
Some difference.
A big difference. I'm not going to use the Roddy White theory. If you miss what Roddy White tweeted out, he goes, hey, there are too many white guys on Clemson's team. That's why they're not good anymore.
He should have taken a screenshot and just, like, circle them. Be like, this is way too many.
Hey, what is this? There's a guy named Woody Woodaz out there. What the hell is that?
They got rid of Will Shipley and added four more.
Hey, so Roddy White had to come out and go, I wasn't trying to offend anyone. Well, some people were upset. I'm not going to use that theory.
Also, who was upset by that? Like
Clemson.
Look at
how college football, the demographics.
Look at the teams that win national championships.
Look at the demographics of college football.
They get a Brock Bowers, maybe.
Yeah, he said it. It didn't go well. He had to come out and try to explain himself. Whatever. We all knew what he meant. It's just not how college football is played anymore. But, hey, Clemson, do we blame it simply on lack of interest in the transfer portal? I do think it was funny that the first touchdown scored was by a guy who transferred from Clemson to Georgia. Colby Young was the guy who scored. So Clemson was like, we don't want that guy. We know he made a couple plays against us in the ACC. That's not what we want. First touchdown scored in the second half was by a transfer guy. Clemson doesn't care for it. Dabo doesn't care for it. They're his program, so they don't do it. there are multiple reasons why Clemson has taken a fall. They don't hit on quarterbacks anymore. Because Kay Klubnik was, he's much better than DJU. There's not much difference between the two. Both average guys at best. And they don't hit on outside receiver anymore. They don't. Name the last good Clemson outside receiver.
T. Higgins?
Justin Ross. And Justin Ross before
injury. Justin Ross before injury.
Before injury, yeah. They don't hit on those guys anymore. And the thought was they'd have a better wide receiver core this year. Now Georgia is the ultimate test of that. They didn't win. That test, they failed miserably.
Big fail.
Yeah, so those are the things you can point to. And maybe the transfer portal is not the – it's simply a symptom of what Clemson is right now. Inability to change. Inability to move along times.
Also, maybe they lose like 34-17.
So you said that, and I heard a podcast kind of agree with you. Like, how many guys in transfer portal would it have taken for them to be competitive? I'll lay it out for you. Let's say it's not just a 1-year deal. Let's say you have been doing this for several years now, and some of these guys are multi-year guys in your program. Of course, the big example is if you go after Cam Ward, how much better are you?
Boom.
That's one guy. Let's say you attack the transfer portal for a wide receiver. I don't have the names in front of me, but let's just say you get the best wide receiver in the portal. And it's not just about this year. It sets a standard that transfer guys go, I can go to Clemson and play really well. So now you have an actual pipeline of guys. I go in the transfer portal. Clemson will come calling. I'll play well there. So maybe you have 10 to 12 guys who you grabbed over the last 2 years who are now on your roster. And if they're impact guys, do you think 10 to 12 impact guys could have made a difference? I think so. It's just a matter of, I think people are too focused on, the score was too large. Two guys aren't going to make a difference. It doesn't have to be two guys. You can have 10 to 12. At one point in the Miami game against Florida, I looked at their defensive lineup. I think 8 out of 11 guys on the field were transfer guys.
Wow.
Not just guys they brought in this season.
Yeah,
off season. These are stretching back a couple years. I think, and it might have been more, I think it might have been a linebacker who was a recruit and maybe a safety that was off screen. So, to be honest with you, out of the 10 guys on screen, I think 9 of them were transfer guys. Now, that wasn't the case throughout the game, but at a point in the third quarter, I just looked at it. Wait a minute. I don't remember hoping that guy signed. I don't remember hoping that guy signed. All these guys came in during the offseason. So, that's what I mean. Could Clemson be much better? Could they have competed if they were 3 years into this transfer thing? I think so. But you want to – so are they – where would you rank them, ahead of Florida or behind Florida as far as the misery rank?
Behind Florida.
Because
– it's going to be hard to top Florida.
It's true.
Folks, it's going to be tough to hard.
That's true. Where do you put LSU? Now, you lost to that wimpy West Coast team. You lost – you're 0-1 again.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because it happened last night.
They're not – rational fans. You got to remember that.
That's what I'm judging by the pulse of the fan that I saw last night on the For You page. I think they're behind Florida. I think they're close, but I still think they're behind Florida. Florida got pantsed at home by an in-state rival.
And had the kids who you brought in to make it better next year. Have their eyes squarely focused on those Miami guys walking off the field saying, come to you. You don't want to play here. We'll play the sound from that. And a very vigorous recruiting assistant, AD from Florida, pushing Miami guys away. And in fact, you hear say, shut up at one point. We'll play that sound a little bit later as we get into maybe just do a whole segment of college football sound. My cousin chimes in and says, Florida, infinitely more miserable than Clemson. I would agree. But Clemson, I think, had thoughts that, hey, after the turnaround last year, we got a shot to be competitive for a potential, if not just the ACC, but a potential maybe top 4 seed in the playoffs if we're going to win the ACC.
Win
a game or two. Yeah. And now you see that the distance between you and the best team in the country is big. Okay.
But I will say, looking across the ACC, there's still a chance for them to win the ACC.
Sure.
I'm not.
It's only week one, and you play Georgia.
If we did the week zero power rankings, Florida State would be so much more miserable than all these teams.
Yeah, I was going to throw them in there, but they got a game today, so
yeah,
the misery has kind of been pushed aside. Now there's an opportunity to kind of wipe some of that away. They got Boston College today. tonight, and the head coach of Boston College is one Bill O'Brien. We'll see what he does with BC. Okay, so LSU, I think they're involved in these rankings, but maybe not as miserable. But I think part of it is we're losing to a – I know they're not a Pac-12 school anymore, but we're losing to that wimpy West Coast school. That's not what we used to do. Remember when we played Oregon in one of these games and we demolished them? That's not who they are anymore. That's not who LSU is anymore.
USC fixed their defense against us.
That's embarrassing. USC's defense looked competent against us. That's not what we expected.
They scored 20 points.
You should have probably had a clue as soon as you saw Alex Grinch not on the USC coaches roster. You kind of knew that things probably would have been better.
LSU, if you go up to an LSU fan and go, "Hey, you held USC to 27 points."
Probably think they beat them by 17 points, yeah. Something like that. Three scores.
No, you lost.
You only scored 20 and you had to kick a field goal late to tie the game. Okay. These two are, I don't think they belong, but the way the Cougs lost and who they lost to, do they belong? New coach? So, and you also have the buffer. You can blame the last guy for what happened. They got beat 27-7 to UNLV. 27-0 at one point in that game. There was a tipped screen pick six by one Jalen Catalan. Yes, that Catalan, the guy who's been in college football almost as long as Cam McCormick, the 9-year tight end from Miami, who had one of those Tom Rinaldi type things on game day. Jalen Catalan made multiple plays in that game, the former Texas guy, the former Arkansas guy, now playing for UNLV. Do the Cougs fans belong on this list because of the opponent, or are we saying, you know what, it's first game of a new era, you guys knew there were going to be problems, maybe not the problems that came about losing to a Mountain West school at home.
Yeah, I think the way they came out is the big is to go down. What did you say, 20-0?
I think it was 27-0.
Yeah, they lost 27-7.
Yeah,
and so yeah, to come out and just absolutely no show in that way, you don't get any bump. Yeah, it was 27-0. The Houston scored with a minute left.
Yeah,
that's tough. That's a really bad one. I think they deserve a mention. I don't know if they're on the medal stand just because I'm pretty sure this game was on ESPN Plus.
It was on FS1.
It was on FS1. Okay. The stage, a little bit lesser than a team that lost the only game on yesterday, the 11 a.m. kickoff game and the 2:30 SEC on ABC game. Those are bigger spots. Probably had bigger expectations. All three of those teams definitely had bigger expectations than the Cougs. So I think judging on that curve, I think they deserve a mention. Not quite there because of what you said with the this is all Dana Holgorsen's fault.
You always have that ability when you're trying to rationalize.
I mean,
what
happened. Honestly, Cougs fans, let me as a fan who's fired many coaches. Let me tell you, you have like 2 years of this. You have. I'm going to give you 30 more games of being like, Dana Holgorsen screwed us.
Because as long as Willie Fritz doesn't have any mind-numbing coaching decisions, you can always point to he's flipping the roster.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his guys in place, and Dana screwed us, so we're in this position.
Because this past year's recruiting class, it's like a half class.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And
you got hired, I'm sure, like 3 weeks before.
And the fail rate of the transition class is high.
Yes.
That's how college football works.
So the guys you need to watch for, and I'm coaching you through this, the guys you need to watch for to be like, this is what's turning the program around. These are the high schoolers, high school seniors this year.
The ones who you hope get some play time, get some snaps because, hey, we're trying to find impact guys. Let's play him maybe 10 to 15 snaps a game and see what happens.
And so even these guys you have – 2 more years
before
until
you can make a real
expect
decision.
Them to be, you know, huge pieces of this team.
Yeah.
You know? So trust me, just you have time. Try not to be too upset every Saturday because it's going to be a long one.
It's going
to
be rough. If the UNLV thing was a clue, and maybe the stamp that says it's going to be a rough one this year. But hey, maybe from week one to week two they get better. I think it's misery because of the excitement, and then the opponent walks in there and slaps you around for 4 quarters, and you get like a consolation touchdown at the end of it. And you're supposed to be Big 12. I asked you this, so we got to wrap it up. We're way late. Thanks to Lance Erline setting us off the clock 30 minutes ago. You heard what I said, Lance. I said it because he's walking past. Now I forgot what I was thinking.
UNLV stick their chest out?
Can UNLV say we beat a Power 4 school?
Let me see if they tweeted.
Do we consider the Cougs, because they're in transition and they're new to the Power 4, can a non-Power 4 school look at the Cougs and go, yeah, that we just beat a Power 4 school. That's an accomplishment. We'll decide on the other side. Sean, you'll have an answer for us. We'll see how you.
I'll scroll through their Twitter.
How UNLV treated their win yesterday, or did they act like we've been there before? Because the Cougs aren't exactly what you think of when you think Power 4, just because they're early in their transition into that realm. Okay, if you bet on the Cougs, it didn't go well for you. Maybe you had thoughts that UNLV was gonna take it to them, because UNLV gonna be pretty good in the Mountain West. No matter what you thought, you can go to mybookie.ag to place your bets. Mybookie.ag lets you bet on anything, anywhere, and anytime. So whether it be the college football weekend that just passed, or maybe the game tonight when you have BC and Florida State, you can bet on it there. Certainly, Major League Baseball is still going on. We got the NFL coming up here on Thursday. Hell, you got a Friday night game in Brazil. You can bet on that as well. From the U.S. Open to baseball to football to the Premier League, which is in action as well, just go to MyBookie. The promo code is BET975. You can use it as a sign-up bonus, or if you're an existing customer, they will make your money go further. So you've got the live betting, you got the sports betting, you got the casino option as well, where you'll see the dealer dealing those cards out to you if you love a good card game. Go to MyBookie.ag. Just go to MyBookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.